Tonight's reading comes from 1 Chronicles, selected verses. That day, David first appointed Asaph and his associates to give praise to the Lord in this manner. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell all of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Israel, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promise he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, God, we ask you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. At some point when the Israelites were in the promised land and established and had went through the judges and started with Saul, their first king, they took the Ark out of the Ark of the Covenant out to battle with them, and it was captured by the Philistines. And the Philistines held on to it for a while, and they put it in their temple, and the next morning their god Dagon was flat down on his face before the Ark of the Covenant, and they stood him back up and came and checked him again the next day, and he was flat down again on his face and broken. And the Philistines were a little nervous about having this treasure of God in their possession. And so the Israelites had it, but not back in Jerusalem where they wanted it to be. And when David became king, he decided to move the Ark of the Covenant, and he did it sort of in a hasty way and not following the precautions that God had set up for moving the Ark of the Covenant, and it was a disaster. They had the Ark on a cart. It started to fall. A man put out his hand to catch it and wound up dying, and they wound up just leaving it where it was on this threshing floor. And so then after a little while, and David recouped and thought about how to do it better and asked God to help them move the Ark, they moved the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And it was a joyous event with singers and trumpeters and musicians and dancing, and priests and Levites and the people. It was a glorious moment. And this part here in 1 Chronicles 16 is David sort of addressed to his people after the ark's been settled, after he's given everyone the blessings of food, and then he gives this amazing call to worship, probably the greatest call to worship ever given to a congregation of people. I actually had to edit it a little bit, and I always hate to edit David, but it was it's kind of a long chapter, so I took some verses out. So I'd love it if you wanted to go home at some point this week and read all of First Chronicles 16, because it's wonderful. But he gives his people this wonderful call to worship. And I think there's some powerful things for us modern day worshipers to hear, especially around this time of year as we get closer and closer to American Thanksgiving. He reminds the people of the importance of telling what God has done, of reminding ourselves of the greatness of God and the greatness of his works among us, to rejoice in his salvation, to declare his mighty deeds to the nations, to come before him with awe, to ascribe to him the glory due his name, to come before him with thanks and praise and reverence. I love the thought of that. God's people gathered together rejoicing because the Ark of the Covenant, where they believed God's presence to be with them, was back among them. And they hear this great call to worship from their king, from their spiritual leader, really, David. And then we're told all the people said, amen, which is what we do at the end of our prayer here every week. All the people said amen and praised the Lord. They heard David's invitation to worship God, to tell of his wonders, to give him thanks and praise. And they did, and they responded. And as I've begun my own journey toward Thanksgiving and sort of looking back on my own year, thinking about the things God has done in my life, I'm really struck by the power of corporately giving thanks. Of giving thanks in a body, of giving thanks in a family. And I mean, I'm sure that's why we gather around a table with people we love for the most part on Thanksgiving. Hardly anyone desires to celebrate Thanksgiving Day by themselves. They want to be with their family, or they want to be with people who love them, to sit around a table together and to enjoy and rejoice in God's blessings. And I'm reminded that as much as giving thanks is an individual act, it's a corporate act. And how awesome it is that as the body of Christ, as the church, as this family here in Beverly, we have a chance to gather together and offer our thanks to God. We have an opportunity to do it tonight. We have an opportunity to do it Sunday morning. We have an opportunity to do it Sunday night at the community Thanksgiving service, where we get to gather with other churches in our area to give thanks to God. How important it is to give thanks. And the thing I love about God is he's always about a win-win. You know, we give thanks to God because he's worthy of our thanks and praise. Because he deserves it. Because we long to be a grateful people. But God does something magnificent. As we give him his due, as we thank him and praise him individually and corporately, we find out an amazing blessing of God is that when we're thankful, when we tell about what God's done, when we rejoice in his goodness to us, in his glory, in his majesty, it transforms us. We're going to end the service by singing Thank You, Lord, which is actually how we ended the service on Sunday. But there's something about that song. The first time I heard that song, it started out and I said, oh, I think this song's a little corny. And by the time I got done saying Thank You, Lord, thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. By the time I got done singing that song, I wasn't worried whether it was corny or not. My whole mood was transformed. And I'm always reminded with that song, I could be in the worst of moods, maybe have the crankiest of attitudes, and I start singing that, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, and I'm transformed. So how awesome is God that we give him his due, what he is worth and worthy of, and he uses it to transform us as well. So there's a double blessing in being a thankful people, is that we get to honor God And we get to let him work his transforming power on us. It's why I believe that Paul told the Thessalonian church to give thanks in every situation, because that's God's will for your life in Christ Jesus. I don't think God intended us to say, like, thanks for poverty, God, and thanks for unemployment, and thanks for cancer and AIDS. I don't think that's what he meant. But what he meant is, in every circumstance of your life where things are going right, when things are going horribly wrong, when you feel fabulous, when you feel horrendous, in every situation, in every circumstance, there's some way to find something to be thankful for. And if we can do that, we're transformed. And we're the kind of people that God's calling us to be. People who trust him when things are good and when things are bad. People who believe that he has our very best when we can see that clearly and when we have no clue what he's doing in our lives. It's not surprising then that throughout the Old Testament, the command, the call to God's people was, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love, his steadfast love, his loving kindness endures forever. It never ends. Not only have I been aware of the power of corporate thanks, I've also been aware, although I have a great many really big blessings to be thankful for, I've been really aware lately how much and how many small blessings I let pass me by. And so this year, I've been thinking about the small blessings, the little things that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful for text messaging. And I know there's a lot of people in the generation above me who think, and in my generation as well, who think texting is a terrible thing, that we've lost our ability to speak to one another. But as someone with children in their 20s, texting is a beautiful way to communicate a short note, not the only kind of communication we have, but a short note, a short reach out, a quick way to say, I love you, without interrupting somebody's day. For a lot of years, I couldn't text because I couldn't see my phone, and thanks to technology with phones that speak to me, I can text now, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for all the technology that allows me, as a blind woman, to be able to enjoy some of the modern conveniences. So I'm so thankful for that. I think about social media, and as silly as so much of social media is, I find myself this year so thankful for Facebook, even though there are days I have to walk away from it and not look at it anymore because it's so ridiculous. But Facebook has allowed me not only to reconnect with people that I would have no way of keeping in touch with. I've reconnected with high school friends, with college friends, with childhood friends. Reconnected with people that I know that have moved away. And it allows me to connect with them over the miles and over the years in a way that I wouldn't have the opportunity to do otherwise. And so I'm so thankful for that. It's allowed me to meet, if you will, in quotes, people that I've never met in real life, but that I gather every morning with to talk about God, to do Bible study. I'm overwhelmed by some of the people that Facebook allows me to connect to. And I think the thing that I'm most thankful for about Facebook is that it's been such an incredible ministry tool for me. As I, Thursday after Thursday after Thursday, since Thursday is the day I spend a lot of time praying and trying to listen to God, and I take a public prayer request on Facebook and on several Facebook groups I'm in, and I've been overwhelmed. I don't know how long I've been doing it, probably 2 years. I'm overwhelmed by the number of people who reach out and ask me to pray for them. And the number of people who have invited me into very scary and very trying times in their life, to pray for them, to encourage them. And now I find I get messages throughout the week from people who are just looking for someone to pray for them, big or little or small. Even doing the church Facebook page, I'm overwhelmed by the free exposure we get as a congregation on Facebook. You know, I get an email every week that tells me how many people saw one of our posts, either from the church or when somebody checks in here on Facebook. Last week, that number was 445 people saw the name Beverly Presbyterian Church. 30 people were engaged, I mean, liking a comment, commenting. That's crazy. That's more people than we have here tonight engaged with our church through a Facebook page. Had an opportunity to have a woman recently send a message through the Facebook page looking for prayer. And she said, I know I'm not a member of your church, but I believe really strongly in prayer. And I was wondering if you could pray for my stepson who's going through some very intensive testing in the Marines. And she asked us to pray. And we had an opportunity to pray for her. We prayed for her here Thursday night, prayed for her in Sunday school. We've prayed for her other times. It's a woman we would never have contact with to hear that prayer concern, except through this crazy social media called Facebook. And so I'm grateful that God can use anything for his glory. God can use anything to give us an opportunity to reach out to the world in the name of Jesus. One of the other things I'm so thankful for that I've been so aware of, and I think it ties in very closely to a leap I've taken in my prayer life over the last, 2 years maybe. I'm so thankful for how intimate and personal God is. I mean, I'm blown away when God answers a great big prayer, you know? When we got the news that Doug's last scan showed that his cancer was shrinking, that's an answer to a great big prayer. We're overwhelmed and so thankful for that. But sometimes it's equally amazing when God answers some little tiny prayer. When one of my kids is having a bad day and I'm just praying that God's going to be close to them, and they call me up or Jimmy comes home or I see Karen and they have some encounter that turned their day around. Those little tiny things that if we didn't know better, we could write off as coincidence. But knowing this intimate, personal God as we do, we know it's him moving in the circumstances of life to remind us that he's there and that he cares. Thankful that God is not only concerned about big things, but that he's concerned about little things. I'm thankful that details that bore most other people in my life, God longs to hear about. I'm thankful for a million tiny blessings, like my grandson Andy running across the room, flinging himself at my legs so I'll pick him up. Or my granddaughter Lucy almost jumping out of her mother's arms with her arms outstretched to come to either me or Tom. Blessing after blessing after blessing, little tiny moments that I could so easily miss, and I do so easily miss, that I want to make an effort, a concentrated effort. I want to be intentional about being more thankful for those small things in my life, for those intimate acts of love that God lavishes on me, that the world could easily explain away as coincidence, that I'm going to hold firm to the truth that my God, who loves me, continues to burst into my life in small ways and big ways. So now, it's your turn. And what I would love for us to do is to be a song of praise and thanks tonight. You don't have to raise your hand and tell a story, but I would love for us just to shout out things we're thankful for. Big things, little things, life-changing things, things that other people might think silly. You don't have to just go once. You don't have to worry about what people are thinking about what you say. But there's something cool about God's people gathered together, giving thanks for the things in our life. And as you say something you're thankful for, it may very well prompt someone else to think of something they're thankful for, or make them pause and realize that, wow, I'm thankful for that too, and I've never thought about it that way. So I know this takes some of you out of your comfort zone, and I appreciate you going out of your comfort zone. But let's be a song of praise. You don't have to raise your hand. What are you thankful for?